the optimal life.
So what are the temperatures like in Norway these days?
The temperature in Norway would be today is actually kind of a spring feeling. It's 16 degrees Celsius. That would be maybe 61, 62 Fahrenheit, I would guess.
Not bad. So, not bad.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Just a week ago, it was snowing. So I'm actually quite happy.
So we had a little technical difficulty there. How long have you been? You've been in Norway your whole life?
Yeah, my whole life I've been here. Yeah. In the southern Norway, but I've been working as a doctor all over Norway. So it's been a way to explore Norway and to meet the people. So I've been working maybe in 30 counties from the north of the Arctic Circle and to the big cities and in the south. Yeah.
Nice. Have you ever been here to the States?
Yeah. I've been actually driving almost across the States from Roanoke, Virginia. I'm actually a resident of Roanoke because I had to be a resident to buy a car. So I bought a car and we drove across the US and down into Mexico and sold the car again in New Orleans. So it was like a 4 or 5 month trip. So
wow. That had to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. It was. So I'd love to go back. So yeah.
Neat experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how to help us out here? I brought you on because I don't want to die a young man.
Yeah. That's what I didn't want to do as well. Yeah.
Right. We want to live long, as long as we could live vibrant and stimulating. We want to live long. How do we do that?
Yeah. So luckily, it's the same strategies that you need to live a vibrant life that you need to live a long life. So that's a good coincidence. So you need to sleep well. You need to eat right. You need to exercise right. You need to cut down on alcohol a bit. And yeah, so there are several strategies that are well known. You know, everybody knows it. But what's new now is that you can use technology. You can use Garmin watches and Oura rings and Whoop bands and so on to actually track how you're doing. So it's kind of a speedometer of your physiology. So now we have motivating help, you know, to guide us along the way.
What makes you an expert in this field? When did you start getting into this longevity stuff? And what's give us a little more background on yourself, if you would.
The reason is that my father died about 10 years ago, and he was 73. And just as you, I wanted to live a long and vibrant life and go traveling. You know, I've been traveling for 5-6 years all around the world, and I wanted to do as much of it as I could, of course. And then as he died, I understood that if I also will die at 73, I will not reach to do all the things that I really want to do. So I had to look around and have to kind of study medicine again to see, okay, what can keep me healthy? Because what I had learned in medical school was, okay, what kind of diseases can you get? And if you get them, what do you do? Which medication? And I understood that we knew so much more now about what can keep us healthy. And so I just started doing that. And after some years of changing my lifestyle, because I had done everything wrong, I was 40 pounds overweight. I did not care what I was eating, how much I was sleeping. I did not exercise. I was drinking alcohol every day, a couple of glasses of wine. So I had to change everything into a more healthy direction. And after some years, I understood that we have these smartwatches that can track our physiology. And I understood that, you know, this possibility has not really been exploited and from the doctors. So then I wrote The Pulse Cure, which is actually the world's first book and as a guidebook on how to use the wearables and how to use these new healthy lifestyle strategies to live longer and healthier and keep your stress in balance. So that's the main part of it. Yeah.
So if somebody has a smartwatch, they're looking at it right now on their wrist. What do they need to do? What are some things that they should be doing immediately to start implementing this into their lifestyle?
Yeah, it would be a good start if they have a Garmin watch on their wrist, because that's by far the best one when it comes to tracking your physiology. What you're looking for is the heart rate variability. And the heart rate variability is a measure of the autonomic nervous system. So whether you are in the parasympathetic restful mode, restorative mode, where the immune system gets to do its job, or in sympathetic mobilizing stressful mode, that will, keep you alive and keep you motivated, keep you being able to work hard and so on. But now that we are too much in this mode, we're not allowing the body to recuperate and to recover. So that is why we get sick, yeah, from this. And the
Let me just
smartwatches,
ask you real quick, Torkel, please, if I may. So you're talking about two different modes. One parasympathetic, which is more rest relaxation. The other is the stimulated mode that you're saying that we don't allow ourselves to, we stay in that other mode too often that we end up having some kind of, is it like burnout? And then we end up getting sick and our body breaks down.
That's right. This is the reason why there's so much burnout. And I hear numbers, that in the US that almost 60% of the employees are in on the verge of burnout. So this is a way that has helped a lot of people in Norway to be able to, regulate their system and avoid getting the burnout. So, and this is why the book has now been on the best-selling list in Norway for like 66 weeks. And because it helps people, and once they feel it themselves, they tell everybody about it. So,
So when they're sitting there looking at their watch, Torque, what are they supposed to, when they see that they're, give us some ranges. What does the numbers look like? And then what are they supposed to do when they see it? Oh, wait a second. I've been in this range for a little while now.
Yeah, the ranges, that is individual. So you have to see what is your best range in heart rate variability. I can explain what heart rate variability is, because you're not looking for the heart rate in itself, like if you have 60 or 80 or whatever. You're looking for heart rate variability, and that is the variation between heartbeats. So if you are in the restful parasympathetic mode, when you breathe in, the heart rate will go up a little bit. There are more oxygen in the lung, so it will take advantage of that. And when you breathe out and there is less oxygen in the lungs, the heart rate will relax just a little bit, but it's measurable with the smartwatches. If you're in the stressful mode, however, you have a very steady heartbeat. It's like even if there's less oxygen in the lungs, it will still, push through, because our, age-old system just interprets the stress as being in danger. So it just thinks that, okay, we need to use all our forces now to survive, and to because maybe somebody's hunting us down or something. So when we stay too much in this stressful mode that you can see from the heart rate variability, then we are not allowing our body to recuperate, to recover properly. And then we get an inflammation in our system. So we get a low-grade chronic inflammation that will affect all the body's organs, and including the brain.
So what do you
So,
tell your patients when they're in these higher states? What are some of the tips that you get them to get back to parasympathetic?
that would be like breathing exercises, meditation, reading, listening to a podcast or listening to an audiobook or whatever gets them into this mode that in the parasympathetic, calm, restful mode. And you can see this, and then particularly, I must say, on the Garmin watches, it will be more difficult to do it on the Apple Watch or other devices. But you, for example, on Apple Watch, there's an app called Athletic, and that is quite good, I would say. So you can also use Apple Watch for this. But the main thing that almost all smartwatches have is they have the measure of heart rate variability during the night. So then you can see, the kind of a crude level of what your physiology is like.
How are you able to see? You're saying while you're
Say
sleeping?
that, so it will record while you're sleeping. So say that you have had a late night meal, a late night pizza out with the guys. Then you will see in the morning that your heart rate variability is low, because your body has been struggling with the late night pizza and the excitement of the day before. Compared to a night where you ended with reading and relaxing and then going to sleep. So you would see that will be two very different heart rate variabilities. Say that after the pizza with friends, you may have, say, 30 in heart rate variability, and on the restful day you would have 50. And you would feel this. You would feel the difference when you get up. And of course, another night you may have had going out for some beers, that would be even worse. So then you may have 20 in heart rate variability, and the day would be hard, And of course, if you get sick, if you are getting the flu or COVID or anything, the watches will often react before you do. And then in the pulse cure
How
in
so,
the book,
Torkel? How so? What will you see from your watch if you're pre-COVID or pre-flu?
you will see that the heart rate variability is low. So the
So the
watch
higher the
will,
variability, the better, is what you're saying.
because that will be that, as I said, in the parasympathetic mode, when you breathe in, the heart rate will go up, and when you breathe out, the heart rate will go down a little bit. And this is a good heart rate variability. If you are stressed from whatever reason, if you have been drinking alcohol, you've been training too hard, eating too late, or there has been stressful times at work, late night working and so on, then it will be at a very, very steady pace. That's a measurement that your physiology is stressed, and that you should do something about that. You can tolerate 1 or 2 days stressful days, but if it goes on for a too long time, well, there will be a price to pay.
Yeah, and those prices are hard to reverse, because once it hits your body, once your body breaks down, you can't get that back. Yeah, you'll recover most likely, but those stack on top of each other over weeks, months, and years. If you're constantly living in that state, those are hard. It's hard to recover. You're not going to reverse that.
Yeah, you can reverse it, but it will take a long time and it will take a lot of patience. And often what has gotten you into this trouble is impatience, and frustration. So it will be hard work. It will take a long time if you have been really into a burnout situation. And that is why these watches are important, because they can warn you way before you get into that situation. And a lot of people tell me that what they love about the watches is that it will give them kind of a license to rest, because they would often feel guilty resting. They feel like they should be doing something all the time, and the watch will actually say to them, "Okay, you need to calm down now. You're in a you are overtaxing your system." So most watches would be able to tell you that, and then Garmin in particular, yeah.
But like anything in life, there has to be a happy medium. I would imagine that living in parasympathetic state all the time is not good for you either.
That's right. That's right. That is rarely a problem, but of course, what's important is that we should stress. We should tax our system. We should, use our forces. If you just stay in the parasympathetic mode, you will be weaker and weaker all the time, and then you would end up being stressed by a very, very low grade, situation. What we can do, we can also go back to our ancestry. We have been putting these devices on hunter gatherers that still exist. What they see is that they are in a moderate activity, 2, 3 hours a day, and the rest of the day that they relax. And this is more or less the intensity of our lifestyle that we are developed, that our body is prepared to take. What is happening these days is that it's almost the opposite, that we are most of the time in the stressful mode, and too little then in the parasympathetic mode.
Why are we so stuck in this mode these days?
We're working hard. We're eating things that we are not really supposed to eat, ultra processed food. There's a lot of inflammation in the body that comes from the food. Alcohol is the most taxing. I'm not sure if you heard of Whoop, but Whoop is an American device, and they track their customers, and they say that the by far the most stressful factor, that would be alcohol. So these things can really, wreck your system.
Yeah, but don't you think
So
that those have always been around? Those problems have always been around in society.
I'm sure, but now the totality of it, The total load of it is too much for a lot of people. And then, of course, if you don't sleep enough, maybe you sleep less than 6 hours a night.
Too much
And
scrolling on TikTok. That can't be good for the mental sanity.
no, it's too stressful, because now we have no downtime, because earlier it used to be intervals where not much happened, and you naturally relax, but now, commercial forces are like taking your attention all the time, so you get no chance to relax. And then of course we pay with small chunks of our lives, of our attention, and we give it to the ones, with on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram, and everybody has a little dime to make from our attention, unfortunately.
So what's causing you in your life the most stress these days?
Oh, that is by far the success of the Pulse Cure, because now it there are I have lectures 2 times a week. I have maybe 3 or 4 podcasts every week, and so much attention from media and so on. And it has been going along now for almost a year and a half. So now I have to be really, really good at what I'm talking about, to find the pockets of rest. To use all the tricks in the book, to manage and stay productive, because this will make you more productive and perform better. There's a famous research, the basis of the 10,000 hours that you have probably heard about, Malcolm Gladwell and so on, talking about it. And they were researching on violinists in the Berlin Orchestra. And they found out that the best violinist, they exercised then for 10,000 hours before they become really good. But what was also particular about them, that they were sleeping 1 hour more than the others and taking frequent naps. So they were both deliberate in their training, in their practice, but also in their resting. So this is to relax and rest and have more downtime is not, disturbing your performance. It's actually improving it, because also the creative part of, your mind is also in the relaxed mode. That's when you get the good ideas and
Yeah, well, I think to piggyback off of that, I think a lot of folks from the baby boomer generation used to frown upon naps as if you were weak and you're being lazy. And I think a lot of research now, to your point, shows, hey, a 20, 30-minute power nap daily could actually go a long way in improving performance
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
and improving
So,
mental sanity and improving everything, even just your health, correct?
So your overall health and your mental sanity, is very connected. It's not two separate things. So, and I see that every day as a doctor, that it's rarely that I see a person with a good physiology, a good stress balance, and they have mental problems. It often goes hand in hand, really. So,
Interesting.
often what you can do for your mental sanity is, to go running or walking or using your body, strength training, whatever.
I want to go through a few of the things that you guys touch on in The Pulse Cure. We've linked this book in the show notes, The Revolutionary New Way to Balance Stress, Optimize Health, and Live Longer. Let's hit a few of these topics. Again, high level. It's not one size fits all for people, but let's just go through some of the main ones. Improve your sleep. You've teased it a little bit. We've talked about it. Hey, listen, I improve my sleep, unfortunately or fortunately. Sometimes I improve my sleep by having just a little sip of whiskey, a little topper here and there before I go to bed. And I got to tell you, sometimes that's all it takes for me to actually have a good night's sleep. So I know you've talked about alcohol, but for me, every now and again, if I do just a little bit, not too much, just the right amount, basically a shot, I actually sleep great.
Or and so I thought as well, during all these years working hard as a doctor, that is why I was having 2 glasses of wine every day, because I thought that it would relax me. It certainly made me sleep faster. But now with the wearables, you can see that the restorative sleep is not as good. Your deep sleep is not as good. It may work for you. And you would then be able to see that on your watch, that not only did you sleep, better with the whiskey, but it was also more restorative. Or it could show the opposite. So these devices will show you how you react to things and not just how an average react.
So what are you
You
telling
may
people in
be
the
right,
book?
but
Yeah,
what's that?
I'm saying, what are you telling people generally in the book on how to improve sleep? Do you have general ways?
Stay away from alcohol.
Oh, so there you go.
That's
Right.
number one. That's number one. It will make you maybe sleep faster, but the quality of your sleep will for like 90% or more be worse. So what you should do is to dim the lights, to calm down maybe an hour or two before you go to sleep. Maybe read a book, whatever makes you come into this calm mode. And this can be different things, A lot of people will be reading, listening to an audiobook, listen to a podcast, and so
Discover the
on.
right type of exercise for you, Torkel. Right, the right type of exercise, excuse me, is something else that you're talking about. So, again, there's a million different books and people out there talking about fitness and exercise. What are you saying that's different?
I'm not saying anything different, really. I'm saying that to get the most out of it health-wise, it will not take too much. It should take 150 minutes a week of kind of brisk walking, get a little bit short of breath. That you do some exercise to get muscles, maybe push-ups, sit-ups, squats, these easy things. You can do it in between in your daytime at work, So muscles are important. You need to move a little bit all the time or every half hour or so. But it doesn't take too much to improve your health. Because the biggest difference is between being totally inactive and then to do something. And 30 minutes of walking 5 days a week, that should be enough to get the health benefit of it. And also on the opposite side, a lot of people exercise too hard. So they get too much lactic acid. They exercise too late in the evening. It will disturb their sleep. So with these devices, you are much more able to regulate your exercise level and intensity according to your ability to take or to, take benefits from the exercise.
Yes, but do you believe that folks who actually put a little more strenuous exercise into their weekly regimen have a better chance of living longer, just generally speaking, a better chance of fighting off disease and those kind of things?
Yeah, I would think so. But that depends on the rest of your situation. If you have a job where you are sitting at the office, okay, then you can take more strain. If you are a nurse already or you are having a physical job, it may be too much. So you need to adapt your training to the totality of your situation. And there's also some limits on training too much. So if you are training like more than 10 hours a week, it actually starts to go down. You're training too much. It's too hard for your heart.
Yeah, the point of diminishing return. How do you suggest people avoid chronic fatigue?
By sleeping well enough, by resting enough, not overtaxing their system, by finding the strategies that can help them calm down, and by having these devices to be able to use it like a speedometer for your stress level. And this is why the by far most happy people about the book, that's the ones that are in the fatigue situation that finally have a device that they can manage to get out of the burnout and out of the fatigue. Because the problem is that our senses, our inward senses, have really never been developed. We have very good eyesight, very good hearing, smell, taste, because all the threats throughout, human history has been coming from the outside. And listening too much to the noise inside ourselves has just been in the way, from interpreting the outside signals where the threats came from. But now the threats come from our inside, and whether you, for example, now have 60 in a heart rate or 85, I don't think you would, or I certainly would not be able to notice this difference. But the difference in kind of inflammation and strain on your body within this range, like from 60 to 85 in the pulse heart rate, that's quite, it can be quite stressful before you feel it. So when you feel it, then it's often been way too much stress.
Do you advise your patients on diet and nutrition?
Yes, I do. Yeah,
What do you tell
absolutely.
them? What do you suggest typically?
I tell them to try to avoid ultra-processed food as much as they can. That they should eat real food, food that your great-grandmother would recognize as food, food that you can make in the kitchen and you don't have to read the label to find out what's inside. And I would also advise them to have a restricted feeding window that they would eat maybe for 8 hours and the rest of the day to be fasting, so that they give their digestive system enough downtime to recuperate, to recover from the digestion. And that's
That
important.
that'll reduce inflammation as well, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Your father's death obviously had a profound impact on you. Him passing away at 73. What was the cause of his death?
That was a cancer, and a normal cancer that we all, you know, are prone to get from our Western or standard American diet. So that also has its cause in root cause and inflammation. And earlier from the medical school, we learned that cancer was like, either genetic or just bad luck. But now we know so much more that it's our lifestyle that causes cancer. And if you're able to do something about your lifestyle, you reduce drastically your chances of getting cancer.
Did your
Just
dad?
for example, just sleeping, you know, for people who sleep less than 6 hours a night, they have double the risk of cancer compared to one sleeping more than 7 hours. It's something that we 10 years ago you would never believe those numbers, you know, but now it's you know, it's standard research. And
Did your father ever come to you for medical advice? Did you ever try to get him on a healthier track?
No, I don't think so. But he wasn't, he was just living the way normal people live, you know. It wasn't anything particular about his lifestyle. He was, and I was living the same lifestyle, you know, weighing 40 pounds too much and so on. So, I don't think we had, as doctors, even we didn't know the impact of lifestyle. I thought maybe if I do everything right, I will live like for maybe 3 years longer. But concentrating on the lifestyle changes would take me 2 or 3 years, you know, of exercise and care about sleep and all these things. But now we know this. It's if you do the and that this is American research on American veterans, that if you do the right things, you know, regarding nutrition and sleep and stress and alcohol and all these things that I'm talking about, you will actually live 24 years longer if you have those strategies from when you are 40 years old. You live 24 years older. And if you start those strategies at 60, you will even get 18 years longer. So it's never too late. So anyway, it's a whole it's very different from what we thought. And this is also what I see as a doctor. I still work as a doctor, and yesterday I worked, and I see that I can see this difference in lifestyle. So if you have these poor lifestyle choices, I can see that you will live 24 years shorter.
Well, yeah, you know, Torkel, where do you think where do you think we're going as a species, looking ahead in your crystal ball 50 years from now into the 2100s? How old are people going to be living to where they could actually live, you know, the equivalent of basically a 60 or 70-year-old man today? What does that look like 50 to 100 years from now, in your opinion?
That is very hard to that would be just guesswork because you know
Well,
with the
that's okay. You won't be. You mo you most
technology.
likely won't be here anyways for anyone to get mad at you. So, okay.
I would guess that it's possible to live to like 120. But that depends on what artificial intelligence can do, what they can do about genes and so on. But what you can do already is, to make sure that you can be 95 and still be at home, until you pass 90 years old. That you can do just by doing the tricks. Maybe I've probably heard of the blue zones. The places in the world where people live the longest with the highest percentage of centenarians. They just do what we have been talking about here, sleep well and eat natural food and move naturally. And I see, I'm also always interested because one of my jobs is to write the death certificate. So I have to go if somebody dies close to where I work, I have to go and see them. And just yesterday, there was one guy who was 94, and then I just look at his life, and I saw that he had been living at home just until he was 92, and this is absolutely possible. But then you have to do these lifestyle choices, right? And the good thing is that what is needed to reach that age is free. It's free to sleep better. It's free to be out in nature. It's just as cheap to eat real food and so on. Breathing exercises is cheap, or it's free. And also, cold water to be cold is also actually something that dampens inflammation. So that
Yeah.
is often even cheaper, than the alternative. So.
The only thing you got to spend money on, it sounds like, is the Garmin watch. I
Yeah,
got to
and
tell you, to
luckily,
rhetorical, Garmin's got to be paying you. They should be sponsoring you for all this stuff.
Oh, they should, but then I wouldn't have the integrity,
That's a
so
fair
they
point.
don't. And unfortunately for me, because Garmin would have like maybe 10% of the market, and Apple would have like 40. So I would be much more happy if Apple had a
There
better
you go.
solution, so we will see. It's in this market, there's so much change all the time, because I know now that Samsung is making their Galaxy Ring. So I think in this in the technology for improving our health, it is expanding like by the day. Yeah.
Got it. The Pulse Cure, we've linked that up in the show notes. Anywhere else you want folks to find you online, social media, et cetera?
Yeah, we have a social website called thepulsecure.com where you can watch video lectures. You can post your questions, and you can add pictures of the curves that you get from your device. So you will get answers to what you are wondering about there. We have workshops and well, a lot of activities there. And otherwise, I'm also on Instagram. I'm on Dr. Torkel MD. You can follow me there. Most of my followers are Norwegian, of course, but the book is published in the US in mid-May. So I'm excited to see, and I know that in the US, there's a big interest in both health and technology. I'm really very curious to see how the American market will react to it. So.
Absolutely. We've linked them up in the show notes. Check them out, guys. Dr. Dot Torkel on Instagram. There he is. Last question for you. What was your go-to wine when you were drinking every night?
Why not anything? Anything.
Anything. There you go.
It was usually red wine of any sort. I was not no aficionado. I would probably go for the cheapest one on the shelf.